Well, we sure appreciate the Lord this morning. The Lord doesn't do anything but good. And the best thing we can do is get with someone that has the power to do good and does nothing but good. So we want to thank the Lord today for who He is. I wrote on the board the word mysteries. And I'm, the Lord willing, this will probably be a series for a few weeks. But I want to think about this morning the mysteries that God has sometimes kept from people for a while. And the scripture speaks of it. But you know, have you ever wondered what was in the mind of God to begin with? Why would God have done this great thing that He's done and produced worlds? Millions of light years apart and all of these things, and produced the earth and on it people and all the ecosystems that He's made. Why would God do that? Why was He inclined to do everything He did like He did? Why did He leave man the choice to get in trouble? Why did He do that? Why did He leave man the choice that he could say, "No, I want to take my own way"? But He did, didn't He? I know many of us understand many of the mysteries of God. Probably not everybody does. And so I want to begin a little bit here this morning and look at a few things that gives us a few clues to some of these answers, to some of these questions here. In Hebrews, the 8th chapter, and you're going to have to stay with us this morning, and I'm asking the Lord to help us that we won't be too wordy with it, but that it will be plain and easy to understand. But in Hebrews 8 and 10, it says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest." You know, this morning, and He says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that, He saith, a new covenant He hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." I hope this morning that we can get a hold of in our hearts, folks, God, from the very start, wanted a people that loved Him, that served Him, that He could have fellowship with, that He could talk with, both ways. God longed for that. Now, God made a lot of things. He made the angels. He made a lot of things that don't even have a choice about what they do. God made the birds and He put in them what to do, and that's what they do. There isn't any choice to it. That's what they do. But you know, if we decided to make something and we wanted that thing to love us and we wanted to have a real relationship with that something, don't you think that it would have to do that on its own? It wouldn't quite be right if we forced it, or if we just made it that way, would it? No, I want to tell you something. One of the great mysteries of God is that His heart longs. His heart always longed. He made the universe and all of that. And folks, it all was made that He might have a people that loved Him, that served Him, that He knew them and they knew him. Amen. Did you know that's what it's about? A lot of people get hung up on, you know, we got to keep the commands of God. We got to keep the commands of God. We sure do, don't we? We sure do. But we can't go about sinning and think we're going to have fellowship with the holy God. But I want to tell you something. We first need to know that the heart of God longs for something more than somebody that simply obeys because they're forced or because in fear or what. God in his heart longs for our heart to love him. He longs for us to receive his love. And so this morning, if we could just ask the Lord, Lord, have mercy on us today and enlarge our understanding of what you have in mind for us. Because to many people, it's a mystery. Why did God make man the way he did? I'll tell you why. Because he loved man. And he wanted man to love him. And so, from the very beginning, God made it that way. And he longs for us to do more than just his commandments. Folks, if we just do the commandments, if we fall in love as a couple, as a man and a wife, I want to tell you, there needs to be more, doesn't there, than just I bring the groceries home, I do the dishes, I cook the food. There needs to be something more, don't you think? There needs to be something more than that. Because it can be so good when there is. It can be so good. And yet, many homes don't know anything of that. But I want to tell you, it starts right here with God. Because he wants to reveal to us what true love really is. He wants to reveal to us a way that we can do the right things much more than out of force or because I have to or because I'm so entangled if I don't. He really wants to win our hearts, folks, today. And I hope the Lord will help us here. You know, in Jeremiah 9 and 24, it says, "But him that glorieth, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Now you know, the Lord says, don't let him that glorieth... I'm sorry here. Don't let the rich man glory in his riches, and the wise man in his wisdom, he says. But let him that glorieth glory in this. Let not the wise man glory, this is verse 23, in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That's what the Lord wants us to glory in. You know that the riches, the might, the wisdom, those are things God has given us. Those are his gifts. Those are his graces or whatever. It's not always a grace to have all the things of life. But I want to tell you, God wants us to not glory in the things that we have, but to glory in this, that we know him. That's what his mind was from the very start. And so I urge people all the time, get to know the Lord. Spend some time in your quiet calling out to God. Lord, I want to know you. I want to be able to have that kind of personal relationship. And I want to tell you something. If we get to know the Lord in that way and he fills our life with his power and his spirit, I want to tell you, we'll be able to live for him. We'll be able to make it to heaven one day. But it starts here. Because this is one of the mysteries. People forever have had every kind of religion. They've walked on their knees until they bled. They have done every kind of thing. And the Lord says, What I really want is your heart. That's what I really want. They've done everything within their power to do right and good. But he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll make you able to do those things. I will tell you this morning, the secret is in knowing the Lord. Not just his blessings, not just the things he's given us, the might we have, the money we have, the strength we have, the influence we have, but to know the Lord. Folks, if we will know the Lord, he'll give us all other things in life. The Lord had some mysteries from the start. Let's look at a few little places. Genesis 3rd chapter in the 8th verse. You know, it gives us a little look into what God had in mind at the very start. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, it goes on from there, and I'm going to read that, I think, after a while. But you know, right now, I want us to think about that. They heard, this was Adam and Eve, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. You know, it just indicates he made that garden for them, and they knew the Lord. It just indicates to me that this wasn't a simple one-time thing. I think God came and visited his creation often. Yes. I think he walked with them often. I think they heard his voice often. I think they met God regularly. Don't you? I think we probably all believe that. They met God regularly. And so we find them here. It goes on to say, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Now, why did they do that? Because they had been disobedient to God. You know, this morning, we can be obedient to the Lord. We don't have to be disobedient. And so that's why they hid themselves, because that disobedience is what the scriptures term sin. That's the thing that separated them. And from that day forward, they had to leave that place that they had. But folks, there's a mystery that God, through the centuries, through the thousands of years, before the world began, he made a way and a plan that we could come back into his presence again. So we want to look at some of those things by and by. Isaiah 41 and 8. I'm just going to go sketch across some of these. It speaks of the seed of Abraham, my friend. That's what God said. Abraham, my friend. Do you know from the very earliest days, there was Adam and Eve having that kind of place with God. And then here was Abraham, a friend of God. You know, when he was going down to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy those five cities down there, you know what he did? He came by his friend, didn't he? He told him what he was going to do, didn't he? He reasoned with Abraham, didn't he? Because there was more there than just a man that was just trying to be good enough for God. There was a man there that was obedient to the Lord and that wanted to serve him. Do you know that in James 2 and 23, and I'm just going to mention these. You're not going to have time to move to every one of them. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, you know what he did when he believed God? He just simply got up and did what God said. He said, I want you to leave this Ur of the Chaldees and or wherever he was at the time. I want you to leave. And Abraham just got up and left. And then he called him. He said, I want you to take your son and go up and sacrifice him. And he just got up the next morning early and took off. Now God, of course, stopped him before he did that. But that was the heart of Abraham. He believed God. What God told him to do, Abraham did. So it wasn't that he had a belief that had no connection to his works, as James tells us. But we find Abraham a man that followed God, that did his bidding. this morning. There was another man, Genesis 5:24. And I love to look at these little snippets of people's lives because we don't have a lot about them. But in Genesis 5:24, it says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." You know what that tells us there? We find out Enoch walked with God. And then when it came time for Enoch's last, he didn't die like we did. God just took him out of here. What a way. You know, this morning, God's still looking for people that he can walk with. He's still looking for people that, as we read in Hebrews, that I'll be your God and you'll be my people. And folks, when we do it that way, a lot of times we're trying to be his people, trying to please him the best we can and never getting to know him. Folks, the Lord wants us to know him. Stop. Take time out. Lord God of heaven and earth, I want to know you. I believe you're there. I believe there's really something to this thing. Lord, if you can make the whole earth and heavens, you can surely build in me something good. Is that right? Now, it's not our stuff. It's God's stuff. It's not our righteousness. It's God's righteousness. And so he wants that and he longs for that. And from the very beginning, before he made the earth, we find him setting up these things. Do you think that God one day, it popped into his mind and he said, I'm just going to make the earth, and boom, he did all of this? No, I want to tell you something about God. He works through things, doesn't he? And he's taught us to do that. I believe God thought about things. I believe that God planned things. And we read about that because it talks about Christ was the Lamb slain before the world ever began. That's something, isn't it? And so this morning, the Lord help us. I want to read a few other scriptures here and just kind of tie this together while we're here, because to me it's important. Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image." Now talk about a mystery. Do you know that from the beginning of time, from the beginning, God began to give little clues. I'm going to send you some help. I'm going to send something. All the prophets, the Lord prophesied through them. He told, there's going to come one. There's going to come deliverance. There's going to come something. It's a mystery. They didn't know what it was about. But Christ came to fulfill all those mysteries, didn't he? And now we look at it as a full picture. We're looking back on it, and it's today, and we understand it. It's a mystery that the Lord has revealed. But here he was in Genesis 1:26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image." Who's us and our? Let us create. Who's going to create? That must be an awesome being. That must be more than... So where do we found our ideas that God and Christ and the Holy Spirit is one? It starts from the beginning, folks. And we want to understand those things because there is so much false ideas of religion in the world today. And so God said, "Let us." Now, John, the first chapter talks about that everything that was made by Christ, right? That's what it says. "Let us make men in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, well, he went on and said some more about that. But do you know that God created man in his own image? I believe in the image of holiness. That's the way God created us. And he told them, and I like to glean out of the scriptures, folks, the things that we believe today. We believe because we're taught them by the word of God. Are we just another animal? God created all these animals that week, and we were one of them. Are we just another animal? Something very, very different, isn't there? And we're created in his image. The other animals are created for our use and our purpose. Do we realize that today? Young folks, I hope you take it down in your heart that it's not a mystery. So are we just another animal? No, the mystery is revealed, folks. We are God's creation, made in his image, and quite different from the other animals. Because we have a conscience. We have a soul that never dies. It's eternal. Yes, we have those things, a spirit and a body. Folks, when the Lord made us, he made an amazing thing, didn't he? We want to understand a little bit of the mind of God. And I know I'm varying just a little bit from my main thought, but I just want to bring this in while we're here, because it's important for us to understand the things that we understand about life we get from the Word of God. Yes. Now, I know there's all kinds of ideas in the world. There's people they call tree huggers. There's all kinds of ideas and things like that. I don't know where everybody here is, but I know where the Word of God is. All those things were made for man to have dominion over them. And they're made for the service of man. And we want to catch these mysteries revealed to us by the Word of God as we go. Let's look over here in the 9th chapter, in the first verse. And Noah come out of the ark, okay? And so here we are back to 8 people. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. Now, folks, there's different ways for us to live, to eat, to live in on the earth. We're given to have dominion over it, to take care of it. Not to be careless about it, but to take good care. But, folks, we are not on the same level as the rest of the earth. The earth is made for our use. And so we see here where he told Noah, he said, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. Now, and you read in Genesis, it just mentions the green herb and things of that nature. But to Noah, he said, all of this is given for you. And so this morning, as we look at the whole picture, let's let God's word form our ideas. I personally care deeply about how we deal with the environment. All of those things. I do. I think we should be careful about it. I think we should care for things. I don't think we should just do things carelessly. But I want to remember one thing. We're not made for it. It's made for us. That's what the Word of God says. We're not on the same level as a cow. A cow is made for us to eat. Do you know that? A sheep. All the animals of the earth, folks, we want to get things properly in our mind. That's done by the Word of God. As we study His Word, as we understand His Word, that we understand where God put us in this whole realm. Now, the Lord longs to speak with us, doesn't He? He longs for us to be on a whole different level than all those things that He made for us. But many times, folks, we take our own way, our own thoughts, our own lust, our own ambitions, And we leave everything of God behind, and pretty soon none of it makes sense anymore. I want to tell you, God has revealed some things for those mysteries of life. And it's in His Word this morning. What happened? What happened in the beginning? What happened that this thing didn't work? I'm going to tell you what happened. God made man to have a choice because there could be love no other way. And He gave us that choice. Now, folks, we can lay down all of our ideas and we can search after God Himself, or we can take our own way. And that's what much of the world is doing today. In Noah's day, most of the world was taking their own way, and God destroyed them. But we find in Romans 1 and 25, it says, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore." Forever. Amen. Do you know that people today, does that sound like it fits today? Does it? People worshiping and serving the creature, the creature's talents, the creature's desires, every imagination of the heart, and people are serving those things, aren't they? And yet, still without God. And yet still without that thing inside that says it's right. Because see, God wants it to be that way. It brings happiness to our life. It brings joy to our life. So our search in life should not be, folks, for somehow something that will satisfy me. Find it in God. That's where it's at this morning. Find it in the Lord. Do you know that's what happened to Adam and Eve? It says they began to worship the creature more than the Creator. The creature's desires. Let's go back to Genesis 3 and 8 and read that again. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" You know, God called and He said, "Adam, where are you?" You put your name in that this morning. Where are you? Where are you? And He said, "I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid." You know, to my unbelief, people are afraid to serve the Lord. People are afraid of God. People are afraid to give themselves to His Spirit. You know why? Because generally there's a reason. Adam had disobeyed God. He knowingly did exactly what God said, "Don't do." And so we find him, and he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And of course, he shoved the blame on somebody else. And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree." Well, that's true, isn't it? God didn't cut Adam any slack at all, did he? "I told you not to eat of the tree." And do you know that Garden of Eden, they were driven out. Never again were allowed to live there. But God, in His mercy, He saw down through the years, and He started beginning even there to make promise. There's going to be a day that you can be retrieved, redeemed, that you can be helped through these things. God is holy, folks. And disobedience is an unholy thing. And we can't totally, 100% help ourselves. It takes God in us. And so I want to encourage you to reach out to God. "Lord, if you can make the heavens and the earth, Can't you make something in me like yourself?
Yes.
Can't you do that? I just believe you can. Amen. And will and does this morning. In Genesis 3 and 15, let's look on down. It says, and I will put enmity. Now the serpent beguiled Eve, right? She deceived Eve. And then Eve shared with her husband in that deception. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, verse 14, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Folks, do you know that when he was talking here, prophetic language, and he very clearly said, between your seed and the woman's seed, there's going to be hatred. There's going to be enmity. And you're going to bruise his heel, and he's going to bruise your head. Now, you know what? How that was fulfilled this morning? I'm just looking, and now we'll start back maybe to looking at some of the things the Lord was promising to us. In Romans 16, it says the 16 and verse 20. I want this to be simple enough to understand. Listen to what Paul wrote to the Romans. He said, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Do you know when Christ died on the cross? His heel was bruised. Satan did all he could, but he couldn't really take it. He took his life, but Christ had the power to bring that back, didn't he? He died for you and I. But I will tell you what Christ did to Satan right there. He bruised his head. He took his power. He took his governance. And so our lives that was unable up to then, and folks, we're unable without the power of Jesus Christ in our life, we are unable to come out from under that. But I want to tell you what the Lord did. He made a way. He made a way that Satan can no longer have that kind of authority in our lives. You know, that comes when we begin to seek the Lord and we allow Him and we repent of our sins and we follow after God with all of our heart, and the Lord begins, He makes a new person in here. He begins to teach us His ways and show us different paths. Now, I want to tell you something. This word, I want to read what it means. This word here, bruise, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. It's not the same word that was used in Genesis, but it means to crush completely. That is shatter. And it's used in the scripture in this way, broken to shivers, bruise, break like in pieces. The man that was in the tombs, it says that the fetters were plucked, you know, they were plucked asunder by him and broken in pieces. That's what the man in the tombs was doing. That's the same word that Paul told these people. That's what God's going to do for you to the power of Satan. You know, this morning, let's start looking up to that. Let's start looking up. Here, the Lord, all through the centuries, and I would love to pull a bunch of, and hope to pull a bunch of the prophecies out, how that the Lord prophesied to us. There's going to be a time. There's going to be a time. There's something coming. And it was a mystery to them. And they thought, surely there's going to be a king come and set up a kingdom here on the earth. And the Lord tried and tried to get his disciples to understand it's a spiritual kingdom. It's a kingdom of peace and righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's a kingdom whereby the power of Satan is bruised or shattered to pieces. Now, isn't that hopeful this morning? Oh, I hope this morning that we can get a hold of this in our faith. Lord, I want to crawl up close to you. If you made all this just for me and people like me, if you made this world for, oh, can I not take advantage of it? Can I not know you? Can I not hear your voice? Can you not direct my life? Can you not lift me up when I'm down? Can you not keep me from evil? Can you not change my life? Can you not make something good where there's bad? I believe it. I not only believe it, but I've seen it a bunch of times. Oh, the Lord wants to do that, doesn't He? I remember a man we prayed with one time, and I can tell this at this time. And he had gotten into evil things, and he began to hear voices and all of this kind of thing. And this was an evil thing that had come upon him. And he came and wanted deliverance. And you know, I saw a group of ministers gather and rebuke that thing. And you know what his testimony was a long time after that? I've never had that again. I want to tell you something. God has power to shatter the work of Satan in our lives. He has power to lift us out of those places. Folks, let's don't abide in unbelief. But let's understand. Let's understand some of the mysteries of what the Lord began to give us way back there. Oh, the Lord began to speak through Moses back there. And he said, the Lord thy God, he told the people, will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. And I want to tell you, Moses was a lawgiver, wasn't he? He gave him the law. He was a prophet, a legislator, a mediator for the people to God, chief of the people of God. He was a ruler. He was a judge. He was a deliverer. And God used him in those capacities. But I want to tell you something. Moses said, there's going to be a prophet like unto me that he's going to raise up. And folks, he's a deliverer. He's a mediator. He's the one that is chief of the people of God. He's our ruler. And he hears our cries this morning. Oh, the Lord help us today. There's so much more to say here this morning, but we're about out of time. You know, this morning, folks, I hope your faith reaches out, looks past all the questions that you've ever had, and lets the Word of God settle it. Yes. Folks, Jesus Christ came to save men and women. He came to save souls. Jesus Christ came to give us a new life. He came to give us power. And He came, He left. He said, I've got to leave because I'm going to send back the Holy Ghost. And when He's come upon you, you shall receive power. More power than you had before even. And the Lord gives us power the first just by our repentance and our new birth. He gives us power. Oh, let us this morning look up to the Lord. Let us reach out to Him. Let us let the Lord be in us and to us what He wants to be, what He longs to be, what He made this whole thing about. Let us let Him be that to us today. Oh, let's don't just live as right as we know how. Let's live with God. Yes. Oh, Lord, talk to our hearts today. When we come to the judgment, are we going to be able to say, I did this and that and this? No, we're not. But I'll tell you, we're going to know Him Because we're going to be like Him. That's what the Scripture says. Oh, today, let's let the Lord talk to our hearts. If anybody wants to pray, we have an altar here. You can come kneel and we can pray together. And folks, God loves to meet our needs today. The Lord bless you this morning. Pray for us, please.